Ready for the show? I'm ready to start.
10, 9, ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
Roger, we got a roll.
Tower clear.
Roger, roll.
My friends, here we are again, ET First Contact Radio, live from the Netherlands, transmitted all over the world through PBS Radio. My name is Maarten Horst and I bring you the latest galactic news. And I have a very interesting guest today. He has been on the show more than a few times. His name is Jeffrey Faulkner, and Jeffrey Faulkner is an amazing friend and he has amazing information to share today. So, Jeffrey, I want to welcome you heartfully to the show.
Hi, Martin. It's great to be back, as always.
It's a great pleasure to have you. So you have some news updates that will shake the world. So why don't I let you talk and let you say what you know, what's going on.
Okay, that sounds great, Martin. I'll kind of cut myself after a little bit, and then we can recap it all. As people that know me and you know me, we've had some amazing interviews on your station, even, you know, on your radio show. Like when the ETs came in, when we lost that signal, they came in and gave us a rogue signal to broadcast on when it was impossible to do so. So
that was really amazing. That was in 2011, and people could still hear the broadcast while I lost connection to the server. That was something really mysterious. And there was this strange hiss when I broke the connection with Skype. It was really very mysterious. And I think people still remember it.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing that's going on right now. What I'm going to try to do a little bit today, because, you know, we have the hour, and, you know, we've done hours and hours before and still don't cover it all. So I want to try and bring you up to where I am and where my understanding is now. Just to recap for people that don't know me, I'm an experiencer of two NDEs when I was small, one at the age of four when I was impaled. I was surrounded by angels at that time. And then when I was 18, I drowned in the Navy, and I was gone for 12 minutes. And that time, I actually went over, crossed over, and I remember everything that I saw and experienced there, and that really kind of set me up for what was coming. In 1999, I had an epiphany in the middle of the day. I'm not a religious person and spiritual, so it was a really unusual thing to happen to me. I was filled with energy. I mean, with beautiful, beautiful electricity, and you know, soaked it up like a sponge. It was like it was just love. The intensity of the love was unbelievable. But at that time, I was shown I had Jesus appeared in front of me, which was, you know, I found really unusual because I don't go to church. But he smiled and he came. He said, "I've come to awaken you to what you chose to come back to do." So this has been my life. This is the purpose of my life. What I'm doing here. He then showed me all the world events, and they are posted on YouTube. And I don't go into them every time because, you know, it can get a little depressing. Basically, what Jesus showed me was what can come down the pipe here if we just don't do anything, if we don't make an effort. You know, this is a school, and we can't sit back and just stare at the teacher forever. We have to get some interaction going. That's what a lot of people are doing all over the world, probably millions of people. About 10 years ago, I had my first ET contact, and it was through channeling. Now, I want to clarify here, too. People say, you know, when people channel, it's a little dubious. It's not really provable and all this kind of thing, and I can understand that caution. But when you understand that we are conscious beings, conscious spiritual beings, that means that we are on the level of, I guess you want to call it thought, of conscious awakening. So we speak without the body, we speak without the mouth, without the wind, without the lungs, all that sort of thing. So when ET contacts people and they say they come through their sleep, or in my case, I go into a semi-trance and I channel, that is really their preferred way to connect. We had a UFO sighting over our ranching valley here in 2009. It was 3 football fields long. It floated over the valley, and it was an amazing feeling. It was a good feeling, actually. I felt like, wow, finally you're here. You know, it was like the cavalry has arrived. A few nights later, they came through me and told me that they were a scientific vessel, a Pleiadian, and that their job, one of the jobs here, was to go over the high Richter scale magnitude areas, and in doing that, they would hover there and harmonize the crust to reduce the aftershocks, because the world is shifting, really is shifting right now. 4 months later, I found on YouTube that exact ship, that exact UFO that we saw, and it's at night, but you can see the outline of it, and it's really amazing. I did save it, and I looked up in USGS on the earthquake check, and that was the day that Santiago, Chile had their 8.2. So I've been having confirmation. So, you know, there is a confirming factor to what I do come through with. Now, just to kind of go back real quick, and then we can recap, Martin, I've probably had, I would say, upward of about 40 or, who can guess, 40 to 50 different ET languages come through me, and we should have probably recorded them because they're amazing. It's almost like 2-syllable words. There are so many, I mean, so many relatives of ours out there in space. When we look at the sky and see those stars that used to be vacant and empty before, we're now getting, over the last few years, I'm sure Martin's noticed too, NASA keeps coming out, well, you know, we found 2 or 3 possible habitable stars in this system or that system. And now, just recently, they just put out there that the Milky Way has billions of habitable planets. Billions. I mean, that now they're flooding us with this, because they've been coming here for thousands of years. And the understanding that I have garnered from my ET contacts are that, as Paul Hellyer, the ex-minister of finance, ex-minister of defense for Canada in the 60s, gave disclosure last year, he's the highest G8 politician to ever do so. He himself had been in contact with, personally, with 80 different species of life from out there, and all but two were interesting. All but two were benevolent. It means friendly, guys. So the two that weren't, I understand as well, are the two factors that have been here for over 2,000 to 3,000 years. Now, you have to understand how this all works to even grasp what's going on. Those two species that came in, and it's like Laura Magdalene Eisenhower has stated that the ET invasion had already occurred. Well, what she's referring to there, in my understanding, is that the Greys and the Reptilians, in that time distance way back, came in and broke basically the code of the universe, came in here and started plundering the planets. You know, I could never understand why we would rape the planet of all of its resources if there was nothing left to spend our money on at the end of it anyway. Well, the fact is that these species, the negative ones, they basically use us in our ignorance to plunder the planet. I mean, it's people, our neighbors, our friends, our families, they're out there operating machines, strip mining or logging or all of these kind of things. You know, so in ignorance, we're actually in compliance. Now, NASA has just put out, I saw today, another release stating that yes, that there's evidence that there has been life on Mars. Well, of course, the guys with the telescopes have been seeing, you know, pyramids and ruins and all this for decades now. So they're coming around, but the thing is that they're still not disclosing fully and properly. Now, we've come to a point now that my contacts told me last year that they had informed the governments of the planet here, basically, to disclose to the public. And if within 12 months of that time they had not, then they would do so by triggering greater sightings, mass sightings, this sort of thing. Now, it's interesting because obviously they haven't done so, but last month, MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, announced a UFO sighting alert, which it had a spike in sightings. So they went from, I believe the U.S. usually has the most of about 250 to 300 a month. This one was in the 600 figure. So the spike is happening. So the disclosure is coming in. It's going to happen this year. You're going to see it happen this year. You have to understand, like, there has been preparation done. For example, Gene Roddenberry, the world follows Star Trek because it seems so plausible, so realistic. The reason is that the government had given this, I am positive, the government had given all the information to Gene Roddenberry so he could get it out there. The simple fact is that if suddenly there are Klingons walking down the streets or Ferengis, we would already know and be familiar with them. We wouldn't walk up and annoy a Klingon, and we certainly wouldn't do a business deal with a Ferengi. So that's on the more humorous side. But the thing is that if they were here tomorrow, we would already have a handle on the panic button and not be pressing it. So that we can basically acclimatizing us to what is coming. And ETs are going to be visible here on the streets, and I mean on the streets, walking around and in your stores. They're actually already doing it. We live in the Mount Shasta area, and there is a community. Part of that community are extraterrestrial. My wife has been here for 45 years, has never in her life seen heads the shapes as she's seen there. Melon shaped, squash shaped. We're up on the mountain one night in the dark and actually walked into seven beings at the 8,000 foot level. When they saw us and heard us, he turned and ran back to the mountain because the Mount Shasta is a base. It's been a base forever. I mean, the Indians before the white man came were talking about white-haired, blonde-haired people. So I want to bring in a couple of things just to kind of reflect on this about the ETs. They don't replace God. They don't replace Jesus. They don't replace our belief system. That is exactly who we are. If you want to know who you are, then you should close your eyes and take that moment of silence. And that's who you are. When you take off the five sensories, that's who you are. So, there is actually an intervention coming. The extraterrestrials, as Paul Hellyer said, stated himself, is that they've been getting more active in being here and more obvious about it because they are getting really upset about the possible reenactment of the use of nuclear weapons. And this is right up in our face again. It's never been this prevalent, actually, since the 60s, you know, when it was really bad then. And even then, silos were shut down by UFOs at that time. So even though Jesus showed me this nuclear holocaust that could be coming, it's interesting to see that play out, because I know that extraterrestrials can't actually intervene in that. And yet I was shown the worst case scenario if no one did intervene in that. So we're at this point. We're also at a time of mass information and mass disinformation. The best way to do that so you don't overload yourself is start to find groups that resonate with you, whether it's you find them on Martin's show or somebody else's show or some of the groups on Facebook. Try not to become paranoid. Don't panic. You know, the panic is what the government has used for an excuse since the early times, because it was the government that had Orson Welles, put on that radio broadcast that to test the public. The public panicked, absolutely panicked. So disclosure was totally put on the back burner, and it was left there. So they, as I said, they tried to come around with Gene Roddenberry. There was more involvement there with Gene Roddenberry, because he was one of the few people, if maybe the only one, who, when he passed away, he was cremated, and they actually scattered his ashes in space. So, you know, that's kind of a nice payback for it. But anyway, so I'll let Martin get in here now, too. But what you have to understand is, I'll leave you with this one little moment to think about, is that Billy Graham, the evangelist, He stated in one of his books, he was asked about UFOs and extraterrestrials. Billy Graham, who was a devout man of God, stated that he believes in UFOs. He believes in beings in other parts of the universe and creation. It's ridiculous to consider that God would only create us and not others. And that he said that the occupants of the UFOs, are angels that will be appearing to work with us against the darkness before the second coming of Christ. And that's what Billy Graham said. We have been kept in the dark a long time, and it's a challenge for people to come out of that comfortable little place. Your take on that, Martin?
Well, indeed, Jeffrey, it was very interesting what you all said, and I have the feeling that not only the UFO sightings are increasing, but also the earth changes. I just saw a video from 20 Minutes that gave a recap of the events happening from early April to the second part of May, with all the earthquakes and flooding and tornadoes in the US. It's so amazing how much changes are taking place on Earth, but also in society. So now that those changes are taking place, I think it's also necessary that disclosure happens so that we can clean up the earth with their technology. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree. It's we're coming into a time like this. You know, extraterrestrials have also told me about Earth too, and I've talked about this before. It's actually, I'm not a big person with the Bible, as you know, but there's some of my friends are, and all the things I've been given in my visions they've verified in parts of the Bible. Like, for example, I was told that there would be an Earth too, that when it comes down to the real crunch and the powers that be run and scatter for their little cities under the Earth, in the crust of the Earth. Now, they've done this to every planet they've mined. They mined the Moon, and they mined Mars. And that's why we still see activity up there with the big telescopes, because they're under the ground, enclaves of living space. And that's what they've created here. Now, their plan, I could tell you right now, their plan is that when it comes time that they no longer have the control and the intervention comes in, is that they will run for the underground cover, just like little rats to the nest. But like any retreating defeated army, they will try and burn and scatter and destroy on the way out. They'll try and make the top, the surface, as unlivable as they can. This is what we have to watch for, that they don't do more damage to the earth than is necessary. I don't ever quote the Bible, but I have to tell you this, I just got to move it here.
Yeah, sure.
Those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing, everlasting joy will crown their heads, gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. So the thing is that they're also that they also say that then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the new heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. So basically, what that is saying, that's backing up what my ET contacts have told me, is that when. Because, you know, Fukushima has done its damage, you know. I mean, it is there, and it's not going to go away immediately. There is technology, I know, that they will use on this. But they're going to have to actually do what I was shown in my vision as well, with ET and the vision, is that there would be an evacuation of the planet, basically, at 2018. Now, this sounds outlandish to people, but just listen to me here. That there is an Earth, too. There is an Earth, too. I was given them by my contacts a set of numbers and letters, and I put that into NASA, and lo and behold, it came up as a habitable planet. And people have asked me where and what it is. I'm just not putting that out there right now. But the thing is that it is out there. And a lot of the species we're seeing disappear are actually just being relocated. They've been relocated. I mean, the ships are massive. They've been relocating whales, porpoises, dolphins, all these kinds of species to make Earth 2 as similar. Now, the thing is that the part of the reasoning is that while we're on Earth, too, the reparation of this planet can come back. This is too beautiful a planet for the universe around here. It's a jewel in the universe. It's a teeming with life and purity, and they will bring it back. So this is where, you know, these guys have been doing this, you know, for centuries and centuries and eons and eons. And we can see the scattered dead planets around us, like Mars and things like that. And the international, the galactic, I suppose, international community is putting a stop to this now. And at this time, like, you know, they talk about the second coming of Christ. We have to take the mystique off the religious side. God is God. He's the creator of all. There's no doubt about that. Jesus is Jesus. We are all based on such love that it's incomprehensible to measure. But the thing is that we have to understand that in our body, this is not our true reality. Our conscious energy is our true reality. So that means that we come to our body here, that's created here by from the planet by God. So we come here to inhabit our bodies on this planet. That makes us extraterrestrial. We are not of the planet. Our spiritual identity is not of this planet. So we're extraterrestrial. The body is terrestrial. So when we think of God is everywhere, yeah, so it's hard to define God as extraterrestrial simply because he is everything. But, for example, Jesus was extraterrestrial. So we have to stop taking the mystique of angels, prophets, and all this sort of thing, and the mystical side of what the church has given us, and start to understand that there's terrestrial identity and extraterrestrial. When we start to understand that we are all extraterrestrial, then we start to not fear extraterrestrial brothers and sisters that we have out there. Now, like part of the one more thing I want to just say here too is that I'm trying to slide the pages as I'm doing this. This says like the creation. Romans 8:21 says that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. And basically, that our the earth be brought from the earth, that I will make endure before me, declares the Lord. So will your name and descendants endure. Okay, so that's Earth 2. It's that basically, you know, I mean, We can't get away from death. We can't get away from life. We can't get away from death. It's all a natural concept of creation. The point is that every day people are dying and every day people are being born. It's just that we don't know how we're going to die or necessarily when we're going to die. So when we say that, yes, there are some people that on this planet that in the changing times are going to die, well, that's happening every day. That's happening today all over the world. These changing days are creating death all over the world. Now, this the concept of death is not nice, but the point is that it is something that's going to happen to us all. So what I'm saying is that when it comes down to the crunch here, there will be death, of course, whether it's rising waters or somebody lets a missile loose, whatever the case, there's going to be some, I guess I hate the term, but collateral damage is that it's going to create damage around it. The shift is going to destroy as it creates. But the thing is that those, especially the younger, the children, those who are pure of soul, they will basically be not going back home through the natural or unnatural death process. They will actually be relocated by actually our AT brothers and sisters by ship to Earth 2. And that's what that means right here. It says that the name shall endure. You know, the children, the names of the children of God shall endure. So that's kind of like reseeding Earth 2. That's the new start. And there'll be 1,000 years of peace there for it to establish.
And in the second Earth, is it physical or how is it?
Sorry?
The second Earth where you're talking about, is it physical or etherical or both?
Oh, it's, you know, physical, physical, dimensional, however you want to see it, it's all applicable. Like we tried to say, is this a dimensional, non-viable, touchable thing, or is it an actual solid planet Earth? You know, well, this it's the same thing. Is that it's all one thing. Is that our soul is an intangible thing, and yet the Earth is a tangible. So it's a constant marrying of the two all the time. Is there an actual physical planet Earth 2? Yes, there is.
So actually, what I understand is when those timelines are coming together, the old Earth and the new Earth will merge and become as one, and will become the new Earth, right?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. So, okay, so we are almost at the second part of 2014. June 21 is in about 5-6 weeks. Now, Jeffrey, how do you think the second part of 2014 will be?
The second half of 2014 is going to be extremely tumultuous time. There's going to be amazing changes within the USA, for an example. There's just on the home front kind of a thing, is that we understand that the powers that be, we have to be careful at this point. It's a very crucial time right now because the powers that be brought in Obama. Obama came in, the smiling new hope, the black American, the African American who came in, that was going to be a change in everybody's concept of fairness and everything else. But he came in and basically didn't do anything he said he was going to do. He had done nothing at all and has taken away all the rights. So here he's turned into this absolute monster for Americans to even try and comprehend. He's trying to destroy the Constitution and everything else. Now, he's obviously, you know, because of the false documents, and this is all now being investigated through Congress and all this sort of thing. They're really after him now. The point is, this is all a plan. Now, the powers that be put him in there, you know what? His documents didn't have to be so shabbily put together that they would be so easily spotted. That was done on purpose. If the government, if anybody can make a good false document, it's going to be the government. So why didn't they? They wanted him to be found out. They wanted this bad, bad, evil man to be thrown out of the White House, impeached, imprisoned, whatever they want to do to him. And then be careful. Be very careful. Now we think that we've thrown the Antichrist out, who would come in with the smiles and betray us all and do all this. That's exactly what Nostradamus said would happen. But be careful, because this is not the one we have to worry about. What's going to happen next is, who are they going to give to us next? Now everybody thinks we've just got rid of the Antichrist, or the close to one. Now they bring in the absolutely perfect, perfect guy or woman, whatever the case, could be the actual one who actually would give us a finishing blow. So it's a very, very, very cautious time, the second half of 2014, because that will be proven out in the USA, and that will affect the rest of the world and the rest of the course of action. But as I say right now, ET is extremely involved. We're near Mount Shasta, and well, the sky's clear, but we see stuff here all the time. The activity is really, really out there.
Yes, Jeffrey. Now, the situation with Russia and Ukraine and the West, we have the BRICS nation, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, and they are forming a power block against the West, Europe and the US, let's say. There are many people that now think that Putin is the savior, Putin, the president of Russia. Now, Russia has also been involved with ETs, and do you think that Russia will play a part in disclosure?
I think it's a balance. It's a balance. In my opinion, I think they may, just to get the upper hand on the USA, because the US isn't doing it. What we have to remember here, Martin, is that there's no division between them all, and that's the sad point here. There's no division between these countries. Behind the scenes, it's an act, and they're the actors and actresses, and they're all playing out. The major countries are all in cahoots here right now. For example, I mean, you know, you saw Obama when he was coming up for his second term, and he was leaning over to his Russian counterpart, didn't know the mic was on. I said, you know, just tell, you know, Putin to hold back and let me get reelected this next time, and then we'll get this missile thing done in Europe and all this. You know, all this, it goes on all the time in the background. Now, if we look at what's happening in the Crimea and now with the Ukraine, is that let's not just think about the old Russia, the old USA. We got to think about what happened here. Is that Russia went in, the states knew they were going to go, they went over, took over Crimea, and then the states came rallying up, and Obama was there to defend, gosh knows what, because he can't do it even here, but he was there to play the role, and in the end, what has happened? In the end, what has happened? Russia has got the oil and the gas, and in their panic, the Ukraine gave the gold to the USA so Russia wouldn't land with it. So in the end, they've got the resources, and the states has got the gold, and they've got nothing in the middle. Okay, this was a game, a ploy. Now what happens was, then Obama turns around and throws all of this massive, firepower and troops, everything over to Poland to show support for Ukraine and all this, right on the borders. Well, you know, that should be a great big thing to actually start something. But what happened? Putin smiled and said, oh, well, let's just talk a little bit. I'm going to back off. So he pulled back away. You know, that shows you right there. It's orchestrated. it's like wrestling on TV. They throw each other around, nobody gets hurt, and it's all practiced out beforehand. And this is all orchestrated by the powers that be. Now, who are the powers that be? The powers that be are basically the traitors of humanity. Okay, now, if we look back in history, it was the pharaohs, it was the royal families, the blue bloods, the ones that were put in this elevated place above the servants, the serfs, the peasants, all this kind of thing. They were basically the power families that were given the power to keep the control between the cattle, us the cattle on the ground, and the ETs within the crust of the earth. Okay, so the ETs have been doing this forever. They pick out, they handpick and clone breed their royal families like a queen bee, and then the queen bee lords over the rest of the planet. And so that's what's been going on. So the powers that be are all the wealthy families, the blue bloods and all that, because they are actually the middleman between us and the extraterrestrials that are running the entire show.
But by this you refer to the malevolent ETs, right?
Sorry?
By referring to the ETs, you are referring to the negative ETs.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Now, I heard somebody say that the negative ETs are now not allowed in our solar system anymore, and only the positive ETs are able to intervene in the earthly matters. What's your take on this?
Yes, there's been, my understanding is that there has been, excuse me, there's been a thing put down, let's call it a thing, there's been a direction put down that basically they have to back off, and that it's like, what I was showing Martin was I was showing a panel of seven. I know that you guys have your galactic thing there, and I have to say galactic thing out of ignorance because I've never really explored it. But through my ET contacts, I know that there is a panel of seven ET races that are actually up front here and doing a lot of not so much negotiating, but laying the ground plans of how and when this is all going to work. There's supposed to be a transfer coming on, but the thing is that it's like anything that someone is losing. When someone's losing a battle, they're going to have to give up. As I said before, they want to give the conquerors, in this case, how they look at them, the least that they can give them. So even though they have had the limitations put on them, they haven't lost all of their effect yet. And the thing is that this is why Obama right now is at the same time really trying to start a nuclear situation here. I mean, he is very, very big time trying to start a war. The flight that went missing, no mystery, guys. You know, a lot of things were going on, like with the Crimea and stuff like this. They wanted a distraction. Still, there's no answer to it, but we pretty well have figured out that the U.S. Basically snagged that plane and the brains that were on it. Now, part of the reason was, it wasn't just for taking those brains. You have to think about that 80% of that flight were Chinese nationals. Now, where's the biggest hotspot in the world? It's the South China Seas and the eastern side of the globe, where China is trying to control its side of the global territory. So, I mean, you know, it's like grabbing the plane with their brains on it and all their nationals and making it obvious. You can bet that China knows that the States was involved in it. So they're trying to initiate, they're trying to instigate that thing I was shown. And that's a good sign in a way. You know, in the vision I had, it showed China a sequence of occurrences happening, and China actually launching against the NATO countries with nuclear weapons. Now, for that to still be online, the States would not have had to have tried to instigate an incident with China with this plane. So obviously, we are making a change out there and altering the time frame and the time plan. For them to now turn, instead of just going with that, they're actually turning around trying to initiate a nuclear war. So that's a good plus. But as I was saying before, so Obama is being, as planned by the powers that be, thrown out to the wolves. He will be taken down, it'll be over, but then we have to really be careful on the ground level who's coming in. And I think at that time, that's when we really have to be connected to what's happening with our ET help out there. You know, they can come zipping in and start landing and start walking around and talking, all this sort of thing. That'll be great. But you know what? There's so much more we could do right now if people were just trying to communicate with our brothers and sisters up there. Through conscious communication, like I do. But you have to open that. You have to invite that in. It's like with anything. You know, like people that have the ability to do psychic work or anything like that. They have to invite that conscious communication in and set the parameters. Well, you know, there's a couple of ETs I've had come through me, and I've always not sure about them. And to start with, they say if you're of light or if you're of the same creator or a divine creator belief, then come through. If you're not, then I have no interest because I have to be careful too. And I've had some that just have never, ever come back to me. So I set the parameters of my communication. We can start to do that. People are forming groups now. And they're actually going up onto mountaintops and going into areas, not like Independence Day standing on top of a building waiting to be killed. But the point is that they're out there consciously communicating, asking for contact. And they're actually seeing ships. They're actually seeing UFO evidence around them when they're doing this. So it's possible The government doesn't want you to know that. That's why in a couple of the FEMA books and things like that, they say when it comes to ETs or UFOs, it states in there, do not attempt communication. Of course. You know what? If the government are telling you not to do something, it's good for you.
Of course. Now, Jeffrey, you have stated in our private communication before we started the show last week that last year ET said we'll give you a year and then we need to disclose. Now, actually, since 2008, the world government has postponed and delayed and worked against disclosure. Now, they are very reluctant to do it. Now, this deadline is ending this year. So, what exactly are the ETs going to do when this deadline is reached?
Well, if they still haven't done anything by that point, there will be an intervention. There has to be. There has to be a time frame. They know that the powers that be, that their plan. We're right on the crux. The wave of destruction is, that's what I call it. Imagine an ocean wave. It builds up, builds up, builds up. That's what we've been doing. Then it starts to build mass as it gets higher and higher off the sea level. Now, just before it breaks over, there's that calm spot where everything seems to be just, you know, something's moving, but you can't feel it. But when it lets go, it's a crashing crescendo. That's where we are in the world right now. We're on the tip of that wave cresting. Now, ET has got to do something before that wave crests. So if there's no full disclosure officially by the present government by the end of the year, there will be ET intervention. And I mean intervention, if you want to know what that intervention would be, it would be physical presence.
Wow. And will they talk to our government or communicate with them or force them or do anything?
No, actually, I could tell you something here now I've known for a long time. This does not include me. That's not why I'm saying it. Believe me, it's not me. But I know that there is the group of seven, of the seven ET nations that are dealing with this here, are also dealing with seven on this planet. That's seven awakened, conscious, good souls. So this is also a panel of seven here. I'm not on it, and that doesn't surprise me. The thing is, not because I'm a bad person, it's just, you know, I've got horses to take care of and stuff like that. I'm a rancher up here. So there's a communication going on. It's not made public for very good reasons, right? For very good reasons. But there is a communication going on with a group on this planet. Now, I know that this group were basically created at the same time that I had my epiphany. When I had my epiphany in 1999, I ended up standing, still doing the physical thing. I found myself in space looking back at the planet in the black space. I knew I had the presence of a Jesus figure next to me. And, you know, the old, people may not remember, but the old airline commercials used to show the world, and it would show lines. But we fly here, we fly there, all the places around the world. There were golden threads coming into the planet and touching different parts of the planet. Now, when I had that happen to me, I felt like I was filled with a golden energy. So I related that those golden threads were the similar golden threads that were touching me, were touching other people around the planet. All those people that were touched, there's seven that were singled out that have been in communication ever since, I know for certain, since 99. Now, this was kind of backed up a little bit. I watched a YouTube, I guess about 4 or 5 years ago. I've tried to find it, and it's gone now. There's a lady in Brazil who said she had been in touch and contact with Pleiadians and had been on the ships and this sort of thing. And she said that from 97 to 2000, there was a mass amount of Christ consciousness that was flooding the world. And basically the people that I've met that have had similar circumstances and experiences that I have all were in that 97 to 2000. Even my wife, I was married at the time, I got divorced, and about 4 years later I met my wife now, Angie, and Angie is she's a healer. She does hypnotherapy. She's an herbalist. All these wonderful things. We came together, got married, and I found out then afterwards that I had my epiphany in October 99, and she had her epiphany with Jesus in front of her in December of 99. So the plan has been put into place. Now this group that I'm talking about on the planet, if direct intervention is needed before the government acts, they will be going through the seven. And believe me, the seven are very, very, very well protected. There's no fear of them coming forward at the time. So it's a very big year, and very big things are going to happen. What people need to do is stop you, and it sounds hard to say it, but we have to stop worrying about how many people aren't up to speed. Because it's only, if I had to venture a guess, I would probably say about 5% of the planet that's even going to make any active contribution to the change that's coming on. And not everyone here is supposed to rise to this. There's a lot of souls here that are playing out different things in their life. And this five, you know, the small percent that's making the change are the ones that, you know, my head, Martin, I'm full of stuff. I have to be careful I don't get stretched out too far. But the thing is that we've heard different things come in, like the starseed children, starseeds and all this. What that is basically, and I can say it for myself because I know for myself, is that there is a small percentage of us that go to all of these different planets through God's creation at this time of the soul's evolution. And we come in to lift the darkness off, and we come in to calm things, to expose things, to bring the truth out. And it's not so much so to create all that freedom from all of these elements. What we're here for is to lift it off the people so that they can now make that choice about, this is the time to choose between our home, our heavenly home, God, Jesus, all that sort of thing, or the dark side. It's the light and the dark, because there's dark that gets swung over to the light, and there's light that gets swung over to the dark. So basically, we're bringing in this revelation now, I guess, of the reality of God, creation, heaven, and also the dark side. The Bible talks about the battle of the angels. Well, let's replace the angels with ETs. It's the battle of the ETs. You know, Satan was Jesus' right-hand man. You know, and Satan actually interpreted as the bringer of light. So the thing is that there was a power struggle between Satan and God, and Satan lost, obviously, and was put down to here. That's why they mine these planets and everything else they can do. If there's a prison planet or prison area, it's what the powers that be and the dark side are, because they don't have the fully developed soul. And that's something that they can never have. So they scrounge after the physical greed of the moment.
And what I understand is that the dark ones who are ruling the planet have done an experiment with their DNA, and they have shut down their emotion gene, the genome for emotion. So they can do all those evil things without feeling guilt or without feeling anything. They just do it because they don't feel it. They do.
Yeah. So now, you know, so it's just this change that's coming up, and I'm glad I got to come on today, because I was telling people I was going to do a show, and then the show was coming together, my own show, but you know, I feel restricted by that. And it just wasn't coming together really easily. The people were trying very hard at the other side, but there were a lot of things that weren't working technically and stuff like that, and people couldn't be available for things that I needed to help me set it up. And it just didn't feel right, so I let it go. But I've come to the point, you know, I've been doing this 14 years now, you know, really actively for 14 years. In that time, you know, I've gone through a divorce. I haven't seen my kids for the last 5 years. It's really disrupted my life in a lot of ways. And I have to find some balance. So I'm not saying that I'm getting out of this, but what I'm doing is I'm going to be selectively going on certain shows. One of yours I'll be available for, and on a few others. Out of respect for yours, I won't mention them here. But the thing is that I'm going to limit myself as to where and how and with whom I appear. Because I'm just not peddling a bag full of dead fish, so I don't want the notoriety. I just really want the message out there and to contribute where I can along the way. As you know, we ranch up here. We've got, you know, 21 horses, and that's a full-time job in itself. We still do our ET stuff out here, communications. We see all kinds of ships around here, lights, amazing, beautiful things. It's a beautiful thing. What we're going into is a beautiful thing, and I have to really put that out there. You know, there are people there that are going to be active in what we're doing directly, getting the information out. There's people on the ground that are protesting or bringing the enlightenment at ground level. There are people out there in a very important part of life too, that they're out there working for the sentient beings, and all these people that have these rescue facilities for horses, for cats, or for dogs, or they're out there rescuing dolphins, or standing between the dolphins and the Japanese, or they're hacking them to death, you know, and Sea Shepherd and Greenpeace. You know, these are all basically warriors of God. They're out there standing between themselves and the sentient beings. And part of that reason is the people like myself, I'm very big on the animal connection, is that a really open and evolved soul understands the animals aren't below us. The animals, the created, God's sentient beings are above us. They're the pure energies. I have learned so much from heaven courses. They've taught me to be a better person. They can tell me, they taught me that more is heard through silence than through speaking. You know, their unconditional love. Somebody can beat a dog every day for a week, and at the end of that week, that dog will still come curl up and give that person love and lick them. That is unconditional love. And so these people are out there on the front line too, and it's all so very important. And anybody that's out there, you know, if Martin needs help with his show, help him with the show. Keep him going. If you know of a rescue near you, make a donation. Don't think about it. Do it. Actually do it. This is time for action now.
Well, thank you, Jeffrey. And spoken about animals, of course, a donation is welcome to my email address via PayPal, martinhorst@zealandnet.nl, martinhorst@zealandnet.nl. So thank you for that, Jeffrey. But the animals, they show sometimes more love than humans can give. The love that I feel when I have my cat on my breast and I lay down on the sofa, the cat is coming to lay down on my heart chakra. And we merge, we become one.
Well, that's a fact, you know. They discovered quite a while ago now that they use people that can't be reached by psychology or psychiatry or any of these other great brain-related modalities of healing that don't really heal. They explore, but they don't really heal. You take a dog into somebody who's semi-comatose, sitting there staring at a wall, and leave them alone, and that person will respond to that animal. Yeah. Because, do you know why? Because it's unconditional love, and the soul recognizes it. That's the key.
Jeffrey, how are the horses in your ranch reacting to UFO or ET activity? They feel that, of course, because horses are one of the most sensitive and intelligent beings I know.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I've never been with them when there's been any activity, and I have no doubt that they've seen it. We've never had any adverse reactions from the horses. It's a little hard here because we also have cougars and bears and, you know, the mountain lions and all that kind of thing. So it could be a number of things that makes them nervous when they are nervous. But we've never had an adverse thing in this valley here, in this ranching valley with cattle and horses. There are more horses coming in here now, which is wonderful. But we, knock on wood for saying it, but we haven't had any mutilations or things like that here. Some interesting things here. This part of this valley is a gold mining valley from the California Gold Rush. And one part of it is totally quartz. It's actually called Quartz Valley. But the thing is that there was a rancher up here that my wife heard from his wife, and he was been hunting up in the hills and the mountains behind him. And he came across about 7 solid quartz blocks that he figured weighed about 2,000 pounds each. They're all stacked. They were all stacked on the side of this hill. There was no roads, no trails in there. He knew the area. It was his ranch. And they were so smooth, they were polished like laser cut. And he brought a friend back the next day to show them to him, and they were gone. So obviously, for whatever the purpose they use for, and I've heard it said before that I'm sure that that ETs do actually take quartz out of this valley for whatever they use it for.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, quartz is I keep quartz in my hand when I sleep, a piece of quartz crystal. I did that since I was a kid. My mother gave me this quartz crystal, and I still have it. And it's really having amazing healing powers. But not only that, I think that ETs can use it for their computers, the quartz. I think that quartz can be programmed to store information.
Yeah. There's been a lot of activity here for years relating to the gold content here in the valley and with the quartz in the valley. I was going to ask you with that incident we had, because this has been a really great show. It sounds like we had no problems at all in getting this one through. But the one before, when we heard that garbling at the end, did you ever get that clarified at all? Or
I still have the recording. Did I send you the recording?
I didn't get it, no. But I'm just wondering if you're slowing it down, if you kind of made anything out on it.
Well, I see that it's already time that we have to sign off now.
Oh, okay.
It was an amazing show, Jeffrey. Thank you.
It was great.
We always have a good conversation, and bless you and your work, Jeffrey, and bless the horses in your ranch and your life and all the things that you're doing. You are an amazing friend. I consider you a friend because you share with your heart, and that's beautiful, because that makes the knowledge that you're sharing real.
Well, thank you, and it's the same for you. You do really, really great work in getting the word out there. People like you are actually the conduits that are making this happen. It's very important, and I consider you my friend too.
Yes. Well, my friends, you have been listening to ET First Contact Radio with Jeffrey Faulkner and Martin Horst. I bless you and love you, and I'll be back next week on BBS Radio with another fabulous show. And on Monday and Sunday, I'll be on Finding Voices Radio. Don't forget. Love and light for everybody. Namaste. We'll be right back.